all a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of the blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, all this writing that we just read by Paul is only the beginning of how to live successfully in this melting pot called the church. There are melting pot success directions that Paul is giving. Paul was going to continue this whole theme, this whole idea of unity between Jews and Gentiles into the next chapter. And we're going to look at that next time. But we need to stop and take a look at what he said to this point, because it's important. See, three large directions stick out that help us set the tone for melting pot living in the church. The first is found in verse 11 of chapter 2. It says this: "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders." Now, gang, Paul is not trying to dig them here. He's not trying to make them feel less worthy in their heritage. What he is trying to do is make sure the Gentiles never forget the plight that they were rescued from. You see, formerly, the Gentiles were not living under God's blessing. Formerly, their ancestry was not rich in God followership. Formerly, they were not seekers of the true God. Instead, they were purveyors of false gods. And remember what Jesus said: "If you're not working for me, you're working against me." You see, that background that Paul is telling them not to forget should instill a healthy, powerful humility in a Gentile convert, or anyone for that matter. But we find that as humans, we are very forgetful, aren't we? We know past issues and problems, but we forget them. Or we allow their magnitude to fade. We're always chiding ourselves to remember, aren't we? Remember the Alamo. Never forget 9/11. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, gang, I have often said that the best museum that one can visit is the museum of your own life. A place where you build life-size displays of events and moments in your life. A big place, maybe in your mind, where you can go to a wall and see mannequins in there of issues in your life, things that happen, snapshots of your life, museum form. I know for me, I would build lots of displays. Lots of displays that I want to remember in my museum of my life. I would build boyhood scenes, tons of them, that I can go look at, of where we played sandlot football with good friends like Andy Felder, Steve Gunther, and Mike Fernandez. I would want another scene showed us riding bikes and having good times. Images from my life, frozen in time in museum form, in displays. And I would build a very important scene that shows where I was living apart from what God would have me do. A scene that showed the partying. A scene that showed me heading 100 miles an hour towards a brick wall that I didn't see. I'd build another scene where I would show myself with my heart broken and living lonely. You see, if we had a museum like that, we could sit in front of those displays and remember. We could bring popcorn and you can park a chair in front of it and you could sit there and look at that scene and you could ponder all that it brought back. Remember the feelings that we had. Recall the condition our heart was in. Revisit the desperation. You see, gang, looking back has a proper humbling effect on us. And that humbling is an attitude that centers us so when we get up from those displays and we head out of our museum and out onto the streets, it makes us more patient with people. It makes us less likely to judge someone else. And it makes us have a modest and unassuming attitude. And so Paul wanted the Ephesians to have that kind of an attitude as they rubbed shoulders with every conceivable kind of ethnic and social group in this melting pot. And as God's family here in the 21st century melting pot church, we need that kind of attitude too. So let me give you a takeaway. Here's your takeaway. Build your museum. Build it and visit it often. Doesn't matter where you build your museum. It could be by looking back at an old photo album and stopping on each picture and saying, I remember what my heart was like right there. I remember the hopes and dreams and spend time in that museum. Maybe just laying in bed you can build your museum, thinking back to what were the things you asked God for, that if you got those things, I'd be happy for the rest of my life. That God brought to you, and rebuild those scenes so that you can look at them and ponder them. Build your museum and spend time there, gang, because we can never, ever forget where we came from. Paul tells them, remember, not forget. Okay, the second item that will make us successful living in the melting pot that we call the church, from chapter 3, verse 6. It says this, and this is God's plan. Here Paul lays it right out. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they, Jew and Gentile, belong to Christ Jesus. You see, now in Ephesus, there might have been the lingering belief that since a Jewish believer was one of God's chosen people, that they would be a little bit more loved by God than the red-headed stepchild Gentile. Paul says that is not the case, gang. And he writes, Gentiles and Jews will share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. We're going to take a theological moment here because we need to make a distinction here between our inheritance and our rewards. All right? I want to make sure we get this right before we look at what Paul's talking about. First, I want to talk about our inheritance, because you've seen that pop up several times in this book, haven't we? Paul's been talking about this inheritance. Gang, here's the deal with the inheritance. Everyone who turns from their sins by faith and accepts Jesus Christ's gift of salvation get the inheritance. Everyone who turns to Jesus Christ by faith gets the inheritance. The inheritance, gang, includes eternal life. All right? Eternal life is part of the inheritance. Another thing would be a place prepared by Jesus for you. Everyone who turns to him gets that. It's part of the inheritance. We get freedom in heaven from our old sinful nature. Everybody gets that. It's part of the inheritance of those who believe in Jesus Christ. And we get face-to-face fellowship with God and more. It doesn't matter if you were the thief on the cross who only believed in Jesus for less than 6 hours and then died, or if you've been a lifelong soldier fighting to advance God's kingdom like Moses and Joshua. Everyone equally gets the inheritance. If you want to put this in Warren County terms, I can do that. Think of the inheritance as your admission ticket to the Warren County Farmers Fair. All right? You get the, Jesus pays for the inheritance, right? He buys it for you. And here's what your inheritance includes. Lawn tractor racing on Mondays. That's included. How about getting to go see the 4-H stables and displays? Included, right? Good inheritance, right? All the cool booths and the free giveaways with the nice bags, loading them up with all the junk that everybody gives, right? All part of the inheritance. How about this? Walking the big loop around the fair. Included where you get to see the overpriced Ford trucks. Included where you get to see all those tractors that no one's going to buy. All included as you walk around. It's quite a world that you've been given by Jesus Christ. That's the inheritance. Remember, this is our heaven. This is our admission ticket into heaven. Every believer of Jesus Christ gets that. That's the inheritance. But, and don't miss this but, God will also give something else. Those are called the rewards. Those who have served God here on earth. Rewards that God will give out for what you have sacrificed for him here. Rewards for following and obeying God's direction. A cup of cold water, Jesus said, given in his name, is going to be remembered and rewarded. Homes given up for God will be rewarded 100 times in heaven. Remember he told that to the disciples? Righteousness means living right for God will be another reward. I look around at my friends, especially where we were today at Judy's homegoing, and I think of the people I serve with here, and I see some very highly decorated and handsomely rewarded citizens of heaven. You're going to be handsomely rewarded, no doubt about it. I know what you've done. Your rewards will be many. So, if our inheritance, remember, if our inheritance is the admission ticket to the Warren County Fair, you got that? We all get that Jesus pays that? Well, the rewards are different. Those you get from God by what you've done. Think of it as going into the Warren County Fair and God giving you a huge frozen cheesecake dipped in chocolate and then sprinkles on a stick. Going to have those in heaven, Mr. Robert. No doubt about it. I can see it. It means when you go to that Warren County Fair, although not everybody gets it, some will be rewarded with tickets to the truck pull and even the demolition derby. Unlimited rides on the Midway, young people. Hey, 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 I'll just keep putting you on. And the ultimate reward, I think it's for righteous living, will be a free pass for anything you want all week long at Janik's Polish Food Wagon. Two issues, the inheritance and the rewards. Now, back to our study, end of theology moment. Which one was Paul talking about here? Paul is talking about our inheritance. The fact that we all get the same inheritance, Jews and Gentile, no matter what the race is, no matter the social status. Here's the takeaway. See each other as equals in the family of God when it comes to the inheritance. No matter what your ethnicity, your social status, or your age, we are fellow citizens. Paul says, in this melting pot, we all share equally in the inheritance, and we all share equally in the opportunity, don't we? But rewards, that's a different story, gang. Rewards are a different story. Those are decisions that we make on whether we will do and follow what God is calling us to ask and do. Now, no one should be looked down on or made to feel inferior in the family of God, because Paul is saying we are all equal when it comes to the inheritance. Okay, now one last marching order, one last piece of information that will make us successful living in the melting pot of the church. And that's from chapter 3, verse 17. Paul wrote this, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him." I love the translation that says it this way. Make Christ at home in your heart. But what does that mean? And can it really help us? Paul says it will. But we must work. You have to do the work of making Christ at home in your heart. I'm going to ask the band to come back and worship leaders and ask you, where are you at? Where are you at in this process of making Christ at home in your heart? Are you someone who's invited him in but really haven't given him the opportunity to go through the different rooms and say, this needs to be cleaned up? Maybe, as we heard, there's a whole closet that you've been hanging on to something. Hanging on to that one thing that needs to go. Maybe you're at a point where you've invited Christ into your house, but you haven't really given him the ownership, the lordship. I don't know where you're at, but Paul is saying if we're going to be victorious Christians, people who can handle the melting pot of Christianity, Christ has to become at home in our hearts. And that's only something that you can do to make him at home in your heart. Let's talk to him as we sing our final worship song together. Would you stand?